for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is the Word of God, and it is good for us to hear the Word read and hear the Word taught. Can we thank our volunteers who led us in worship this morning? Would you join me in thanking them? Thank you. Kyle is out this weekend, and so Pastor Chuck stepped up to lead. And it's a wonderful thing when the people of God gather together to worship God. The Holy Spirit works among us in a special way. So every week we say this, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And the Bible is broken kind of into two halves. You have the first half, which is called the Old Testament. You have the second half, which is called the New Testament. And the New Testament quotes the Old Testament a lot. Now, there are different books within each testament, within each half. And there is one book in the Old Testament that is most often quoted in the New Testament. You know what that book is? It's on the screen. It's Psalms. You're all brilliant. That's right. Yeah, it's the book of Psalms. In fact, it's quoted nearly 70 times in the New Testament. Jesus quoted the Psalms more than any other book of the Bible. So what we did last summer is we took one psalm each Sunday and we studied it. And we did that last summer. Since it's basically tradition now, we're going to do it again this summer. We are going to spend the summer in the Psalms. One summer, I was pressure washing my grandparents' driveway. And it was kind of a pretty day for a little while, but then all of a sudden, the skies turned gray. And I thought, okay, I better get on with this. I better get it done. And not long after that, the storm came in. It was one of those storms that kind of sneaks up on you and then just throws a tantrum for like 30 minutes and then it vanishes. So I see that storm coming. It starts to rain a little bit. And it starts to rain a little bit harder. And then the wind starts to blow. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, about 40, 50 yards away, a tree was struck by lightning. So when I heard that, it was terrifying to me. You know, it was like the 4th of July mixed with New Year's Eve, that kind of sound, the kind that you can feel in your chest. And so I did what any reasonable person would have done. I took off, ran to the garage. You know, I was like a squirrel with an espresso. I just, you know, went as fast as I could. I got there because this was a storm, and I needed shelter. I didn't want to get struck by lightning. I didn't want to die out there. I needed shelter from the storm. Today, we're looking at Psalm 11, which is all about refuge in God. And that story that I just told you, what I just described, that is what the word refuge means. It means taking shelter from a storm. And here's what I know. I think it's what you know, too. We're all looking for refuge. We're all looking to something to provide us refuge. It could be work, could be money, could be entertainment, could be education, family, health, some sort of substance, a hobby, or travel. We're all looking for refuge, and we think that if we come to these things that we will find it. But the first verse, the first words of these psalms, of this psalm tells us exactly where we can find true refuge. So if you have your Bible, look at verse 1 with me. It says, this is David speaking, I have taken refuge in the Lord. That's where we find true refuge, in the Lord, in God. And the rest of the psalm goes on to explain what happens when we come to God for refuge. He gives us gifts. So as we study Psalm 11 today, we're going to see three gifts that the Lord gives us when we come to Him for refuge. Three gifts God gives us when we take refuge in Him. Let's start with the first one. Number one, when we take refuge in God, He gives us protection. That's number one, protection. It doesn't matter if it's the boogeyman or that loud thunder from a storm or a sibling who has just simply had enough. There are some kids that find this one spot, their go-to hiding spot. Do you know what it is? In their bed, under the sheets, right? A kid will take off, they'll run, they'll dive into their bed, and they will pull the sheets up over their head because they think that it's, you know, they're going to be safe under there. Because if you really think about it, it makes sense. This thin sheet of cotton is pretty monster-proof, pretty disaster-proof. It'll protect you from everything. And thinking about that, why don't we just cover the world in bed sheets? That way everything, I mean, I just solved the crime problem right here. You heard it. A kid that thinks that if they find refuge under their sheets, that they will also be protected. They will be granted protection. Well, look at what David writes. Verse 1 again. I have taken refuge in the Lord. Well, refuge from what? Well, here's what's going on in David's situation. David has a boss. His name is King Saul. Saul is the king of Israel, and he has decided that he is going to go against David. He has decided he is going to kill David. David is going to become king eventually. He's like the king in waiting, but the current king is Saul, and Saul wants to protect what he has. He feels threatened by David. So he decides the best way to deal with the king in waiting is to make him the king in waiting in the grave. You know, he thinks, okay, let me just kill him and all of my problems will go away. I won't be threatened by this guy anymore. But then David, he has some advisors, some buddies, some friends around him who all give him the same advice. It's in the last part of verse 1. Look at it again. The last part of verse 1, David's advisors, his friends say, escape to the mountains like a bird. For look, the wicked string bows. They put their arrows on bowstrings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, sometimes you have people in your life that give you advice that seems good. It seems reasonable. I remember one time I went to dinner with someone, and as we were getting ready to order, that person looked at me and they said, Sean, you have a big trip tomorrow. You're going to be in the car for 8 hours. Do you really think that the extra spicy chicken wings are the best thing to eat? Get something else to eat. Well, that was good advice, right? That was reasonable. We look at this and we think, yeah, that kind of sounds like what David's friends are doing. I mean, they're saying, hey, you want to live, right? And I think you want to live, David, just guessing, but I think that you probably think being alive is a better way to live than not being alive. You know, being alive is better than being dead. So here's what you need to do, David. You need to run to the mountains. Go hide in a cave somewhere. You see, because in this city that we're in right now, there are assassins all around you. They've got their guns loaded and they are pointed at you. Things are so bad right now, we can't save this. So save yourself and run and hide. Doesn't that sound like good advice? I mean, save your own life? Doesn't that sound reasonable? Maybe. But what God was calling David to in this moment was not to run and hide. Instead, he was calling him to trust in God. David needed to act like God would protect him because God would protect it. He had promised that he would protect him. He needs to take refuge in God, not in some cave on a mountain. And if he took refuge in God, then God would give him protection. When you face adversity in life, when things get hard, when people become your enemy, do you take refuge in God and find protection? Maybe we could ask it another way. How often do you immediately turn to God in prayer when things go wrong in your life? I mean, isn't it silly to think that we could find true protection anywhere other than God? But we don't turn to him first. So let me ask you, when you are facing a difficult situation at work, do you immediately go to your mind and begin to weigh the pros and cons? When feeling overwhelmed with stress, do you reach for the bottle? When experiencing conflict in a relationship, do you turn to a friend that you know will just take your side? When you are struggling with anxiety, do you start to figure out how you could control the situation? When feeling discouraged, do you just wallow in these negative thoughts? When dealing with a health scare, do you first turn to Google for hope? You know, am I going to survive this? When facing criticism or rejection, do you think of ways that you could prove those other people wrong? I ask that because here's the truth. It's like our default is to find protection in other things. It's like we run to these other things thinking that they will give us what we need to get through this situation. But you know the truth. You know what's being said here. We will only have true protection if we seek refuge in God. We need to be coming to Him first. The way the book of Proverbs says it, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 is this: the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are what? Protected. We will find protection when we take refuge in God. He will give us the gift of protection. So that's the first gift that we get when we take refuge in God, protection. That's not the only gift that we get. When we take refuge in God, He gives us, number two, perspective. Now think about David's situation here. His boss is trying to kill him. I don't know what your, like, the worst boss that you have ever had is. I don't know how bad they were. I doubt they ever tried to kill you. You know, count your blessings one by one. David's boss is literally trying to murder him, and he has an entire army of a country willing to carry out that order. If we were in David's shoes, you know what we would think? We'd think, you know, things are just too bad here. There's nothing that I can do. Saul's got power. I don't. Saul's got resources. I don't. Saul's got an entire army. I don't. So let me just run and hide. It's the only choice I have. Yet, that's not David's thought. That's not David's view. That's not David's perspective. We see his perspective in verse 4. Take a look at it with me. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord, His throne is in heaven. His eyes watch, His gaze examines everyone. The Lord examines the righteous, but He hates the wicked and those who love violence. Instead of having this limited view, David receives a true perspective of his situation. He comes to God for refuge, and he receives perspective from God. You say, well, what perspective? We read it right here. The Lord is on His throne. That's his perspective. The Lord is in control of everything. The Lord has it under control. He is still in charge. Now, that's not a perspective that we have naturally, is it? The perspective that we have is other people are controlling these situations. We just have to take them down. But that's not David's perspective. He sees that God is in control of everything. That's drastically different than the view that we have. But when we seek refuge in God, we gain this perspective. When you're going through something in life, when things are going wrong, when you feel attacked, when you feel overwhelmed, then you start to have this view, this perspective. We have a picture of what that perspective is like. This is what it is. All right? It looks like everything is coming down on you. It looks like you are being overwhelmed. You can't see past a few feet in front of you, and all you know is what is right around you. You don't feel like you have hope. You feel like you're drowning in that. But God has a different perspective. See, God sees everything. He is on His throne. And His perspective is way different than we could ever have. But when we come to Him for refuge, it's as if He picks us up and gives us a new perspective. We have another picture, and this is what our perspective becomes. You know what that is? It's a cornfield. Okay, that was kind of a trick question, I guess. But it's like a maze in a cornfield. Do you know what the other picture was? It was someone in a cornfield. Now look, same situation, same place, different perspective. But when we come to God for refuge, it's as if He picks us up out of our situation so that we can see things differently, so that we gain a new perspective. And here's what we see. God is on the throne. He is taking care of it. He is working out His plan. That is the perspective that we need. Now, to be sure, we won't ever know everything that God knows. We won't ever see things completely the way that God sees things. He knows everything. But He gives us a new perspective when we come to Him for refuge. When we go through things in life, if we're honest, we're kind of seeing that the wicked are winning in life. Have you seen this before? You know, it feels like the liar is the one who gets the innocent fired. The corrupt end up rich. The selfish get promoted. The dishonest gain power. The violent get their way. the unjust manipulate the system. The way we see it, the wicked are winning. The evil seem to be getting ahead. But is that true? Is that really how things are? It might look like that to us, but that's not the truth. The truth is that God is in control. We need a perspective that shows us that God is in control. Well, when we come to him for refuge, he gives us that perspective. We can see that he is on the throne of everything. That is, Saul is not on the throne. The president is not on the throne. Your boss is not on the throne. Your teacher or principal is not on the throne. God is on the throne. And he is working all things out according to his plan. When we come to him for refuge, we gain that perspective. When you go through things in life, do you come to God for refuge and receive his perspective? Or do you focus on every little detail of what is messed up in your life? When you have problems, do you only see the problems around you, or do you see God on his throne ruling over your problems? When confronted with unexpected expenses, do you rely on God and remember his faithfulness, or do you stress over every dollar and every cent? When facing job loss, do you trust God to provide and open new doors? Or do you fixate on the immediate strain and uncertainty of your situation? Or when you have plans that fall through, do you trust that God has a better plan in place? Or do you obsess over the disappointment and over what could have been? Friends, seek refuge in God and receive true perspective. He is ruling over everything, everything in the world, everything in your life. And he will remind you of this. He will give you this view if you come to him for refuge. That's the second gift that he gives us. Gives us perspective. Then there is a third one that he gives us, a third gift that he gives us when we come to him. When we take refuge in God, he gives us, number three, perseverance. Now, it's easy in our hearts to go the way of the world. Here's what I mean by that. It is easy to go, you know what? This person is breaking all the rules against me, so I'm going to start breaking all the rules against them. This person is treating me badly. I'm going to start treating them badly. It's easy to treat them as they treat us. But is that what God wants us to do? Several years ago, I was in college. One of my friends got one of those exercise balls that's like 3 feet wide. It's really bouncy. You know what I'm talking about? He got it. I don't know why he had it. I mean, he did a few crunches on it maybe. But after a while, he found a new purpose for it, a greater purpose, some would say. We would all hang out at his house. There were several of us guys, and he would wait until we turned around, and he would take that ball, and he would throw it right at the back of our heads. And sometimes we'd go toppling to the ground. He loved it. He thought it was hilarious. Not so much the rest of us. So one time, he did it to me, and I had enough. You know, it was one of those days where it was like, this is not going to fly. So he throws it at me, hits me in the back of the head, and I grab this thing, and I'm like, I'm putting an end to it right now. And I thought I was going to crush his spirit. I thought I was going to get back at him. I thought I was going to, you know, crush his dreams. So I took that in the anger, in the heat of the moment, I took that ball, and I thought if I threw it hard enough that it would, like, explode or something like that. So I took it, and I threw it as hard as I could against the wall. You know where this story is going, don't you? So I threw it, and I came to consciousness a few weeks later, and no. It came right back and hit me in the face, which is why I look the way that I do now. You see, in that moment, I thought, you know, I'm going to get back at this guy. I'm going to teach him a lesson. I wanted revenge, but it didn't work out that way. I was abandoning what was good, and instead I was doing what was wicked. I wasn't persevering in goodness. Instead of taking revenge, instead of taking vengeance into our own hands, we need to come to God for refuge. When we do that, he gives us perseverance. He helps us continue in the way of righteousness instead of going the way of wickedness. He keeps us from doing these wicked, sinful things against those that sin against us. And we see it here with David. Again, we have Saul, his boss, his king, and Saul has gone absolutely crazy. Now, I know you think that this could never happen, a politician going crazy, but yes, it did happen in the Bible. By the way, if you think the Bible doesn't speak to real life, if you think it doesn't deal with the real world, well, read it again. A super powerful person who thinks that they can just get away with whatever they want, do whatever they want, and it wouldn't catch up to them. I mean, haven't you seen that before? If you haven't, you should check out this new thing. It's called the news. You can turn it on any day, any year. You're going to see the same thing. We've seen it over and over. So we have this guy, Saul. He's gone crazy. Power has corrupted him, and he is trying to kill David. But there are a few instances where David could get back at Saul. For instance, there's this one time where Saul and his army are chasing David and his men out into the wilderness. And as they are running, David and his men hide in this cave. So they're hiding out there, and Saul and his men are kind of passing by, and Saul's like, hey, time out, pit stop time. Problem was, there were no rest areas around, so he had to relieve himself. He goes into this cave so he doesn't have to do this in front of other people. And you know what cave he walked into? The very cave that David and his men are hiding in. And so he is taking care of business. I mean, a very vulnerable position. And David's men say, hey, this is our moment. David, go kill him. He has been trying to kill you. God has obviously dropped him into your hand right here. Go put a spear through him. And what David says to his men is, I will not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. In other words, God has made him king. It would be wrong if I killed him, so I'm not going to do it. But just think, if he did that, it would make David's life so much easier. Because Saul is the one doing wicked things, not David. Saul is the one who deserves to die, not David. And the way of the world says, you know what? I have lived this way long enough. I deserve peace in my life. I'm not going to stand for it anymore, so I am going to cut off Saul's head like I cut off Goliath's head. But instead of doing that, over and over again, David came to God for refuge. Look at what God gave David when he came to him for refuge. Verse 6. Let him rain burning coals and sulfur on the wicked. Let a scorching wind be the portion in their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright will see his face. Those are the words of someone who gets it, who understands where history is going. Those are the words of someone that believes that God will judge the wicked and will save the righteous. So David knows the fate of the righteous and the fate of the wicked. And knowing that, he decides he is not going to crush Saul into the ground. Because if he does that, if he takes action, if he kills Saul, he will all of a sudden be going down the wicked path. And wickedness leads to judgment. The righteous, on the other hand, it says, will see the face of God. Here's what that means. The righteous will be in the presence of God. They will be delivered into eternity forever with God, where things are perfect. So knowing the fate of the wicked and the fate of the righteous, David perseveres. He continues in doing good. See, he came to God for refuge, and he received the gift of perseverance. When we come to God for refuge, he gives us the gift of perseverance. He reminds us that the upright will see the face of God. And then his Holy Spirit who is in us helps us press on in doing what is good. Look, I get it. I know it is hard not to clap back at someone when they are attacking us. I know that it is hard to not just take matters into our own hands and instead come to God for refuge and trust in him. But when we do that, God gives us the gift of perseverance. And then what we experience is what we read in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, when we come to God for refuge, the Holy Spirit gives us the power we need to persevere. We are strong in him when we seek refuge in God. So that's the third gift that he gives us when we take refuge in him, perseverance. Do you take refuge in God when you need it in your life? In whatever situation you are facing right now, in whatever storm that has been brewing in your life, are you coming to God for refuge? Well, when you come to him for refuge, you receive the gifts of protection, perspective, and perseverance. But you know, those aren't the greatest gifts that God gives us when we come to him for refuge. The greatest gift of all that we receive from God when we come to him for refuge is salvation. I mean, just think about it. If there is one person that never needed refuge from anything, it was Jesus. I mean, he is holy God, he is fully God, and he enjoyed eternity in heaven where he never had a need of shelter from anything. Things were perfect. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and can do whatever he pleases. He never needed refuge. Yet, he came to earth. He added to his divinity humanity. And in a human sense, he became frail. That is, he limited himself in some way. He did not express his power and glory the way that he could have, though he could have done that if he wanted. He chose to do that. He came and lived a human life, the perfect human life, and then was sentenced to death. Jesus didn't deserve to die. I mean, he was perfect. You and I, we all deserve to die, don't we? For our sin, for the wrong that we have done. The Bible tells us that death is the consequence of sin. That's what we deserve. Jesus didn't deserve that because he never sinned. But God, out of love for us, though we deserve his judgment, sent his son Jesus to live the perfect life we should have lived and then die a sacrificial death in our place for our sin. The sins that we have committed were put on Jesus, and he suffered for our sins. He paid for our sins on the cross. Though we deserve the judgment of God, we receive the grace of God because of Jesus. And when he was suffering on the cross, he didn't seek refuge. He didn't seek shelter. He didn't seek escape from that suffering. Instead, he endured the suffering for the sake of our salvation. And then, after he was placed in the grave for 3 days, he rose up from the grave victoriously. He came to life again, and then he ascended back into heaven. He promised that one day he will return to set all things right. And those who have faith in Jesus, those who trust in him for the salvation of their sins, will experience eternity in paradise with him. We will be saved from, not just from sin, we will be saved from the judgment to come. So today, I ask you, have you taken refuge in Jesus? If you haven't, if you've never trusted him for forgiveness, then run to him for shelter now. Come to God and say, I know I have done wrong. I know I have sinned. Forgive me based on who Jesus is and what he has done. And if you trust in Jesus with your heart, with your life, then you will receive this gift of salvation. There's nothing you could do to earn it. It is a gift of grace. So today, if you have never trusted in Jesus, if you've never received this gift of salvation, then come to him now. We're going to sing a song here in just a minute. And as we sing, I'm going to be standing right down here. I'm going to be waiting for you. Come down as everybody else is singing. Let me guide you in trusting in Jesus. I'm going to be hanging around after the service. Come to me after the service. Let me guide you in trusting in Jesus. Seek refuge in God and receive the gift of salvation today. Friends, let's be people that take refuge in God, no matter what we are facing in life, and let's receive these gifts. So we are going to respond by worshiping God together because of his kindness and his grace to us, because of the gifts that he has given us. So as we sing in response, maybe you need to respond to God in your heart in a different way. Maybe today you need to confess to God that you have not been seeking refuge in him. You've been trying to figure it out all by yourself. Or maybe you need to ask him for help, and whatever you are going through right now, you need to seek refuge in him. Or maybe you just need to rejoice because you have refuge in God, and that is a trustworthy and a true and a faithful refuge. So I'm going to pray, and we are going to sing, and as we sing, respond to the gospel in your heart. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your grace. There are things going on in people's lives right now in this room that are unimaginable to some of us. But Lord, you are still reigning and ruling over everything. So I ask, Lord, that you would train our hearts to come to you for refuge. That we would not trust in ourselves. We would not trust in the things of this world. But we would seek shelter in you alone. Thank you, Lord, that you give us these gifts. I pray, Lord, if there is someone in here right now that has not trusted in Jesus, that you would move in their heart. Show them their sin. Show them their need for salvation and show them the gift of salvation that is available to them. Lord, let us seek refuge in you alone for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.